Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we are on day four?
I was going to say like day 237.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
I'm not going to say I hit the wall today. Mentally, my body feels really great.
Okay.
I'm just sort of not into it today at all.
Okay.
Even though I've seen awesome films today.
Yeah.
I'm just like, next.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my version of the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be.
Yeah.
It hit, we all hit it at some point.
Yeah.
So.
It's been super late nights and getting up 4 hours later to see a press screening. So it's been tough.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So we've seen some movies between the last time we recorded and now.
We have seen some films.
Yeah. We've seen some cool stuff. So we'll stick with the same sort of format. Few main reviews, lightning round. We'll call it a day. First main review we're going to talk about is World of Tomorrow, Episode 2. What's it called? The Burden of Other People's Thoughts.
Yeah.
Don Hertzfeldt film. He's Austin-based. It's a sequel to a film we didn't know we were going to get a sequel for until probably a couple months ago.
Where he like posted like a still shot on his Twitter account. And almost blew up Twitter.
Yeah. What did it just say? Episode 2 or something
like
that?
Something like that, yeah. And then like a week later, it was like, finished.
Yeah.
And we're all like, ah!
That was cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So they
played part 1, too.
Yeah.
Back to back. And maybe the best hour of film I've had this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm not a crying guy.
Yeah.
But this is me. You know that they talk about the guy with like the one tear coming down his face?
Oh, yeah.
That was just me constantly.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah, so beautiful.
I don't know about you, but there were moments where I felt really happy, like just pure joy. And then in that same moment, just feeling completely depressed.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't know how to explain part two.
Yeah.
It's... Well, really different than part one.
It is.
He went in a totally different direction.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll do something here that I think can be a little bit spoiler-free while giving people a new taste of what to expect. Because, you know, we don't talk spoilers on our show. That's just our personal preference.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we don't want to ruin anything for anybody. And anyway... Episode 2 picks up with Emily Prime drawing stuff on her little paper. She's got, like, crayons and stuff. And then another version of Emily comes along.
Emily 6?
Emily 6.
Yeah.
Comes along and invites her to go on an adventure, pretty much. And Emily 6 serves a certain purpose, and that I'm not going to tell you. But... the purpose that she serves takes them down this path so that Emily Prime and Emily 6 can get a better understanding of each other.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the premise of the movie. And it is really different. Like, he goes into different parts of, like, the human spirit.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but feel like, that, man, this guy's really in touch with people.
And it's amazing, too, because... before the it actually started, he told us a story about how his whole like art school experience.
Yeah.
He took one course.
That's right. With somebody who didn't believe in measuring.
Who taught shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The last 5 minutes of this film is the best thing I've seen this year.
Wicked.
It's amazing.
It is.
I just started bawling.
Yeah.
Because it's so perfect. It's not even sad. It's just perfection.
Yeah.
And I didn't think you could do much better than part one. Part two's better.
I agree. Yeah.
And part one's the best short I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be my number one film of the year right now.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
It is that good.
Nice.
I'm not ranking anything, but it is that high up there.
Yeah.
And it's a 20-minute short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, man. And a little bit about the process. Do you want to talk about that at all? Like how we made this one?
Yeah.
With his niece?
I thought that was really cool how we got to hear that from him. I want people to hear that from Don Hertzfeldt. I hope people get to actually hear like a Q&A with him.
Yeah.
Because he's the coolest dude.
He is.
Such a down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
Who's just like a regular guy who, like, as he said, I didn't come out of my basement for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's how World of Tomorrow 2 was made.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, like, in the first World of Tomorrow, it played here as well, along with Anomalisa. And he was so humble. Like, before, like the intro to Because World of Tomorrow played with Anomalisa, he came out and he was just like, I hope you guys like my movie. And by that time, we had all of us in the theater had already seen it Vimeo. Or
other than the theater in L.A. that got to see it for a week, we were the first people to see it.
Yeah.
And he was legit scared.
He was.
He's like, I hope you guys like this. Like, I don't know what you guys are going to think of it, and I'm kind of freaking out right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, don't worry. We know who you are.
Yeah. Well, I think it's probably, and I'm speculating, I'm basing this on nothing, but because World of Tomorrow, you know, a lot of people have said the same thing, you know, that's the best short of all time. Not using hyperbole.
No.
But just saying that, and I'm thinking that he probably felt like he had to live up to that and exceed that. And we're proud to report that he exceeded the first one, which I think is freaking awesome.
If you're at Fantastic Fest and you don't have World Tomorrow 2 in your schedule because it's like a short, you're doing Fantastic Fest wrong.
You are.
Yeah, like you're doing a disservice to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the best things I've seen this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when Adrian put World of Tomorrow in his top 10, I was like, oh, that's a short.
that's right.
That's a little weird.
Yeah.
But I'm on board now.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's an amazing piece of work.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's coming out on, or I'm sure you'll be able to buy it on Vimeo or iTunes or whatever when it comes out. But yeah, I don't know when it's coming out, but the day it comes out, you better search that out.
Oh, yeah.
And find it and watch it 5 times in a row and cry every time, because it's a bloody masterpiece.
And we will shout from the rooftops when it comes out.
Yeah.
Like, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We will be... Because a lot of these films, they don't have Disney money to market, right?
No, and I wish I had spot on my schedule to see it again.
Yeah.
But I don't. Everything's so tight.
It is. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, World of Tomorrow, Episode 2, absolutely seek it out, support it, love it. Send us your thoughts when you get a chance.
Yeah, I can't wait for people to see it.
Yeah.
And, this is what's so cool about Fantastic Fest. After that screening, Don Hertzfeldt just chilled in the lobby.
Yeah.
Talked to people.
Super cool guy.
I think he just wanted to hear about the film.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people have seen it. Like, he just finished it.
Absolutely.
A little while ago. Same with Joseph Kahn today.
Yeah.
He's like, I just finished this film.
That's crazy.
It's unreal.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I'm super happy.
Yeah.
And, it was definitely one of the films of the fest.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Also, we saw... we ready to move on?
Sure.
All right, let's move to our next film. You just mentioned Joseph Kahn. Let's talk about his movie called Bodied. What is this one all about?
Do you like the rap?
I do.
So there's this underground phenomenon called rap battles. You might have heard Eminem used to do them.
Oh, wait, battle rap.
Battle rap, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's two or more people, because they're going to be like tag teams. It's like wrestling.
Yeah.
They just start ranking on each other.
Yeah.
Going back and forth on each other, trying to put each other down. And when I didn't really notice in a trailer or anything how this movie was going to be like the biggest like free speech movie of the year.
Absolutely.
Just about how we're getting a little too PC as like a society.
We are.
And it's getting to the point where everybody is afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
And this movie is like everything that I've wanted to see about that subject, where people just go, fuck you.
Yeah.
It is so good.
It is.
It's like a breath of fresh air.
It really is.
In a festival where stuff is going on in the background, where everybody's afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
This is the film that's, I think, going to unite us all together. This sounds really cheesy.
Yeah.
But this movie is about what's happening in this world right now.
Yeah.
I'm really starting to hate people being so buddy conservative.
Yeah.
And this film is filthy.
It is.
Nasty film.
Yeah.
Everybody's cursing, saying bad words.
Yeah.
Just everything's nasty.
Yeah.
But man, is it a treat?
It is.
I love this film.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, me too. Like, I really enjoy how far he pushes it. And there are no boundaries in this movie.
Nope.
Like, he dances right across it and flips the boundary a middle finger. And says, fuck you, I'm going to go over here. You go play safe over there.
Yeah.
And absolutely, it's a conversation we all need to have, because I feel it every day on social media. I'm a person of color. I'm a native guy. And there are times when it's difficult to identify racism. And for that reason, that's why I don't jump to the racism card right away. Like, that's the last thing I want to do is say, oh, you're racist. Like, that's not the first reaction we should have.
No.
unless you're dealing with something like completely outrageous. So, and the really cool thing though is that he kind of puts, you know, woke people on blast, and that's what I love about it, because there are stuffy millennial kids sipping on their espresso.
You mean they're kind of hypocritical? Come
yeah.
on.
No. And they think they can identify what's racist and what's not, even though their little conversations about being racist is actually an act of racism.
I know. There's a point in the movie where one of the characters gets really pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And just starts like going through his head, what exactly is going wrong with this conversation. And it's thrilling filmmaking.
Yeah, man.
I'm just like, wow, dude. You got some big cojones on you, because nobody's doing this.
Yeah. And it's visually, like, really cool. Like, he's got this cool style.
Joseph Kahn, man.
Yeah. And how long did he say he's been working on? Did he say 20 or 30 years?
Yeah.
Making music videos.
This is the dude who makes Taylor Swift's videos.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Taylor Swift doesn't like this movie.
Oh, that's right.
or maybe she does.
And at the Q&A, the Q&A, he kind of talked about how one of her videos triggered a lot of people to call him racist, even though he never thought he was racist, and, you know, nobody in Taylor Swift's camp found him racist.
So stupid.
It was.
People just look for an excuse nowadays to, like, bitch at anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
They think they're getting moral high ground.
Yeah.
And that's... They couldn't be more wrong.
Yeah.
And I love that. I was like, fuck yeah, somebody finally said it. And I'm glad it's Joseph Kahn.
And the great thing about this is I think this film won Fantastic Fest.
I think so, too.
I don't ever think I've ever seen people get up and, like... standing ovation of film like that.
Yeah.
It was an incredible experience. And Joseph Kahn looked like seriously, like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I love how Joseph Kahn on Twitter was like, I'm only bringing this film to festivals that are like, have balls.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
It's like, cool.
Yeah.
Because he talks like this on Twitter.
He does.
He doesn't care either.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is another one of the films of the festival.
Absolutely.
And it was a late edition.
Yeah.
And I think we both wanted it.
Yeah.
It was a TIFF Midnight Madness.
Yeah.
Winner. So I just, it's stellar.
It's cool.
And it's going to piss people off, but maybe you're part of the problem.
Yep, absolutely. We all need to have that talk.
Yeah.
Send me a message on Twitter. Let's talk about it.
Even if you have your GMO, no GMO granola with vegan tofu.
Yeah.
Raisins or whatever the fuck.
And not buying diamonds.
Yeah.
In real estate. Stop with your avocado toast.
Yeah.
Put it down. Let's talk. So that's Bodied. It's one of my favorites of the fest.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead's latest film. This one's called The Endless, and we just got out of this one.
Yeah, from the makers of Spring, which you guys might have seen a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And Resolution, which none of you have seen, but that's
right.
Okay.
I haven't.
Yeah. I think I only saw it because a friend passed me a screener years ago.
Okay.
But these guys are like the future of genre filmmaking.
Absolutely.
And this one is... A jump for them.
Yeah.
The Spring was really good.
Oh, yeah.
It was visually stunning. The plot was amazing. This one just feels like a way more mature film.
Yeah.
I'm going to tread lightly on this one, too, because I don't even know there's a trailer for this yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Two brothers who used to be in a cult are having a really tough time readjusting to life after the cult.
Yeah.
They escaped. The older brother pulled the younger brother out.
Yeah.
And the younger brother is not adjusting well at all. He really wants to go back because all he remembers is we had proper food.
Yeah, yeah.
People liked us.
Yeah.
Our life is crap.
Yeah.
He says that in the film. He's just like, I don't want my life to be shitty anymore.
Yeah.
And we've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
So his older brother, seeing how depressed he is, he's like, okay, we'll go back for one day.
Yeah.
And... everything, when they get there, is sort of not what they kind of expected. It seems to be a lot different. People have, like, changed. And also, they weirdly can't remember things.
Yeah.
About their past.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, like, they're all like, oh, yeah, what I remember, there was this, this, and this. And then they get there, and it's like, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell has happened here?
Yeah, and all the people there seem a little bit off.
Yeah, but at the same time, they don't look like terrible people.
Yeah.
And you're all, like, thinking, well, this is... this is kind of weird.
But they're super nice, too.
Yeah. And then stuff just starts to happen. And I'm not going to ruin that for people.
Yeah, yeah, we can't. But we can't go down there.
Crap, this is a good film.
It is.
It's got the tension. It's got the acting. Benson and Moorhead are the lead actors in the film.
Yeah.
They do everything on their films.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
They do everything.
Yeah.
They edit the film. They shoot it. They do the freaking visual effects.
Yeah.
The visual effects are really good in the film.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
That can sometimes hurt smaller films, but with what they had to work with, I didn't have a problem. I didn't flinch once at any of the special effects in this movie.
I thought it
looked really cool.
This looks like a $50 million film.
Yeah.
I bet you it cost $1 million.
Yeah. Maybe less.
Maybe less.
Yeah.
They talked about how hard it is to get financing in the United States for films now.
Yeah.
And so they have to do everything themselves.
Yeah.
And holy crap, is this film great?
It's great.
And, you know, I was on top of mountains talking about Spring when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
And Spring was a really... My first year coming to Fantastic Fest, I saw Spring, and it was like my number two film at that festival, and I couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
And this and World of Tomorrow and Thoroughbred are my films of the fall, man.
Cool.
Yeah, this one's coming up pretty quick, I think.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
So this won't be the last time we talk about it, because at the Q&A, Aaron Moorhead had a really touching moment where he just kind of said, you know what, guys, we don't have a lot of money. We're not going to be able to market this film, so we need your help.
Yeah.
And fuck yeah.
Yeah.
We'll join your team. We will pimp this out. We'll do whatever it takes to get the word out, because, smaller films just don't have the budget for marketing.
No. The company behind it is Wellgo USA.
Yeah.
Who usually put out, like, anime.
Yeah. That's right.
Which is cool.
Foreign language films.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping maybe like Netflix would have picked this up. So like tens of millions of people could have saw it opening night.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. So we're going to do their marketing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're cool with that.
No, I got no problem with that.
Yeah. It's a great film. You know, we're proud to support great films, and even more proud if it's like a smaller film that needs a bit of help, needs a bit of a leg up, because they're doing great things for us. So this is like the least we can do in return.
Plus, they seem like really cool dudes.
They do.
So,
yeah,
that makes it even easier.
Yeah.
They come to Fantastic Fest in, like, off years, and they don't have films.
Yeah.
And just watch movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they're pretty cool.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, this is, like, I'm thinking, like, my top three right now are, like, World of Tomorrow, Sacred Deer, and the Endless.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's my top three so far.
Nice.
I've seen 22 films.
Okay.
And, I hope for... Today was an amazing day.
Yeah.
But you know what? Day two was fucking amazing.
Sweet.
Yeah. That day, everything on that day just clicked.
Yeah.
Everybody was having a good time. Adrian, something happened to Adrian we'll talk about later.
When
we actually both see the film.
Yeah.
It's just one of the more amazing film days I've ever had at a film festival.
Hell yeah,
day
dude.
Two, man.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But maybe today might be my best ever film-wise. Like, I saw a lot of really awesome films today.
Cool. So, right on, dude.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the next part of our show, the lightning round. This is where we just record short reviews of other movies we've seen at the fest, and we've seen a bunch so far.
Yeah, man, so, rock and roll. Baby.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. And we're officially at the halfway mark now, right?
Yeah, I've seen 24 films.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't counted yet. I'll see. I'll see. Okay, so I'll start us off, because I think, like usual, I've seen probably a few less than you. That's cool, though. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, this is a marathon for me, and I like to try to coast as much as I can. I actually took a little break today. Skipped the morning screening, because I didn't think I'd be able to stay awake through it, so
it's 1:36 in the morning.
That's right.
I'm at a screening pretty much in 6 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So, okay, I'll start us off. First one is Apple Cart. That was a midnight movie. Did you see this one as well?
I did.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was okay.
It was just okay. It's really low budget.
Yeah.
Kind of a culty movie where this woman terrorizes these people who rent a cabin.
Yeah.
And they all start becoming like Evil Dead-like characters.
Yeah.
Deadites.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
Exactly, yeah.
And attack. And it's the mom's job to make sure everything goes well in the end.
Yeah.
Zephyrus didn't care.
Yeah, I had a hard time getting invested in the characters, and it's too bad because the people involved I really like.
Yeah,
so, can't win them all though, right?
It was very, it was underwhelming for a midnight show.
It was,
which has kind of been the theme so far of the midnights.
It has, it's too bad.
Yeah.
Next, I saw, what the hell does that say? Oh, Junkhead. Animated film, Japanese.
Yeah.
Took the guy 7 years to make, and he basically did the whole thing by himself and like a small team.
Wow.
You haven't seen this one yet, right?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
It's really cool. I really enjoyed it. Really interesting ideas. It's like humankind can't reproduce, so they created clones.
Nice.
And then the clones, they revolted and went underground, like many, many layers underground. And as a result, there's like mutants and weird clones running around. And it's hard to explain. It's a really weird world, but I thought it was really sweet and really cool. This scientist creates, as far as we can tell in the beginning, he creates something to go explore down there, and shit goes wrong.
Nice.
And it's got a fucking wicked score. I had fun watching it. It's good.
I think that might be the official theme of movies at Fantastic Fest this year.
Yeah.
Shit goes wrong.
That's right. That's right. So Junkhead, if it's ever playing near you or you have a chance to check it out, watch a trailer. You might be interested. It's got beautiful visuals.
Stop motion's cool, man.
Yeah, it's cool. Next, I saw the Netflix film, Stephen King adaptation. 1922. I think you saw this one too.
I saw this one too.
I thought it was fine. Like,
I thought it was extremely average.
Yeah.
I knew every beat in that film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it is a little bit, they do kind of beat you over the head with what's happening in the movie. It's about the year 1922, and
how one man makes a lot of really bad decisions.
Yeah.
Through that entire year.
Yeah.
And he has a problem with rats.
Yeah. And as a result, he destroys his whole family, his whole livelihood.
Yeah.
And everybody comes out behind in that one.
It's a lovely movie, yeah.
It is.
Super uplifting.
Yeah, that's right. And I gotta say, it was awesome to see Molly Parker in person. I've had a thing for her for who knows how long, and she's even more beautiful in person.
Nice.
So that was really cool, and I thought she was really good in the movie. She kind of, it's got some horror elements, you know, it's a Stephen King adaptation, and she gets her hands dirty in this one. That was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, good.
Next, I watched Brawl and Cell Block 99.
Also saw this one.
Yeah. It takes too long to get going.
Garbage first hour.
Yeah.
I hated the first hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Loved the second hour.
Yeah, man.
It's incredibly brutal film.
It is.
Like, realistic-looking violence.
Yeah.
Where even I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that's right. So this one's about Vince Vaughn. He plays a guy who's down on his luck and gets involved with some criminal stuff, and that bit of the story takes an hour to tell that part.
There's actually not a jail cell for the first hour of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't have the brawl.
Yeah.
Until you hit a jail.
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck me with your plot.
Yeah, this movie should be a little bit leaner. I thought they probably could have started in that second hour. But that's just me, my opinion. You know, it's their movie. They made all of the choices.
They made
it happen. It just didn't work for me as well as I was hoping.
And you know what? I wasn't that big of a fan of Bone Tomahawk either.
Yeah, same here.
But I did like this one.
Yeah.
The action's amazing.
Yeah.
Try to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
It's coming to VOD pretty quick, but
yeah,
big screen's where it's at.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn's a killer in this film, man.
He is awesome.
He destroys people's lives.
He's menacing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I'm sounding like really down on it. It's just that, the first bit of the movie is hard to get through.
Yeah.
But once it gets going, it's got a lot of movement to it. It moves well. It's fierce as fuck, man.
Yeah.
And Udo Kier shows up, and he's just a sinister dude.
Yeah, Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter's in it.
Yeah, she's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun once it gets going. Next, saw the secret screening that was today. That was Agfa...
Something weird.
They discovered an old Ed Wood movie that was apparently his last one. And it's just an Ed Wood porno movie, and it's exactly what you think it would be.
Yeah, but it's not even a porno film. It's just like a nudie cutie where a bunch of women just get naked and dance.
Yeah. And every single shot is used like 5 times in the movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he actually only had 20 minutes of footage.
Probably.
It's an 80-minute film.
Yeah.
It's... amazingly bad.
It is really bad.
Everything about it.
Yeah.
And he uses voiceover.
Yeah.
Crutch.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's in the film.
He is.
See, this is what pisses me off about Fantastic Fest. People here really like this shit.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
And the second they said Ed Wood, I'm like, oh, I got nothing else to see. I'm stuck.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I have to watch this.
Yeah.
I can't get into another movie.
Yeah.
And it was painful.
It was.
It's the worst film I've seen at Fantastic Fest ever. Yeah. And it's a, I guess it's technically a 2017 film because it's never opened.
Yeah.
It's the worst film of the year.
Yeah.
By far.
By far. And the thing is, like, the way it was pitched in the program, it was like a lost treasure, but it's like it's a treasure for them, and
it's a treasure for four people.
I was mildly entertained at times, but it was way too long, and I'm not as enthusiastic as the other people who seem to enjoy it, so
yeah,
it's a shame. It sucks.
The secret screening tomorrow better be of quality.
Yeah,
that pissed me off.
Yeah,
that put me in a mood. Yeah. I was so angry after it.
Yeah,
plus the fact that there's some stuff happening at Fantastic Fest about women.
Yeah.
And that film is not cool.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So,
yeah.
Take it for what you will.
Yeah, exactly. And then we just got out of a midnight movie. This one's Mom and Dad.
Finally a good midnight movie.
That's right. Nicolas Cage, Selma Blair, and a bunch of young actors. The basic premise of this one is, you know, there's a little bit of setup with the family. There's tension like there isn't in any family. You know, the girl is a little brat.
She's a 17-year-old.
Yeah, she's a 17-year-old brat who pisses off her mom all the time. And the dad seems like he's not 100% invested into the family. He's
nope.
Avoiding his family. And there's a little boy who's just a total sweetheart. And once the second act opens, stuff starts happening. Parents are going to their school and waiting for them. And there's something creepy and aggressive about it. And then they start attacking the kids.
But only their kids.
Only their kids. So it's a really cool, refreshing take on a zombie genre. They're not undead. They're
nope.
just they still have their wits about them. But they only attack their children. And Nicolas Cage is in it, going full Cage,
full
man.
Full Cage.
Full Cage.
It's been a while since we've seen Full Cage.
That's right.
And he is full Cage in this film.
And it's a better film for
and
it.
You know what? Really fun film.
It is.
For a film I didn't think it was going to be very good. It's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun watching this one. I laughed a lot.
Yeah.
Cage is amazing. Selma Blair does some good work.
Yeah.
It was a nice little cameo at the end that I totally forgot that I read in the credits.
Oh, yeah.
When he came up, I totally cheered. Yeah,
yeah.
Fun as hell film.
Yeah, dude.
It's not going to win any awards, but it's the best midnight film so far.
Oh, totally. The structure is fun, and the way it plays out is just a blast.
Yeah.
I couldn't have had more fun.
Yeah.
For me, yeah, that's probably my favorite midnight movie I've seen so far.
Cool.
That's it for me.
All right, I got a few. So I saw the Palme d'Or winner, The Square.
Okay.
Which is it's like 2.5 hours long. It's probably a half hour too long. If it was 2 hours long and they cut that film down even a little bit more, it's a perfect film.
Okay.
When it hits hard.
Cool.
It's like the biggest satire on like life in general that I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
Just little vignettes that kind of fold into one massive story.
Okay.
But it's really hard to explain.
Yeah.
You kind of have to see it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Cool.
It's challenging as hell.
Yeah.
Probably not the film to see at 8 a.m. at a press screening.
That's right, yeah.
So I'm going to rewatch it at VIFF.
Cool.
But I highly recommend it.
Cool.
Yeah, as I said, when it hits, it hits.
From the guys who did Force Majeure, right?
The guys who did Force Majeure.
Yeah.
And there's a character in the movie that showed up at the Fantastic Fest screening and caused quite the stir.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you see the film, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But he kind of started attacking the people in the audience.
Really?
That's what he does in the film.
No fucking way.
And people start freaking out, supposedly.
No way.
Yeah, so good on Fantastic Fest for doing that, because that's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. This documentary called Top Knot Detective.
Okay.
There was this samurai show in Japan that wasn't really well known, because it was like this kind of like a crappy Japanese samurai show. But it turns out that it kind of played around the world, especially in Australia, where it became like a giant cult classic.
Oh, cool.
And turns out that it wasn't just a show. The guy who made the show was a bit of an asshole, and then he killed the guy who ran the television station, and everything went really wrong. long.
Wow.
And all of a sudden the show became really hard to find because they pulled all the masters.
Yeah.
And you couldn't see this show for a while.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting documentary. I really liked it.
Cool.
The show is terrible.
Yeah.
And they showed clips from it. My God. So good.
Cool.
We talked about World of Tomorrow. Talked about 1922. Brawl in Cell Block 99. Les Affirmes. Mm-hmm. Part of that, that's the best Midnighter.
Okay.
Do you remember that movie, The Battery?
I do, yeah.
How that movie was, like, kind of contained and
yeah.
sort of more about the survivors?
Yeah.
That's what this movie is.
Okay.
But it's French-Canadian, so French Canada represent.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They even had poutine on the menu.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's wicked.
Yeah, it's a really damn good film. Just about this this weird zombie outbreak. Where nothing is what it seems. These zombies are doing things that zombies don't do.
Okay.
They're like building statues.
Wow.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is a zombie film. I should know exactly where this is going. And I had no idea where this was going.
Cool.
And I was super happy I watched it.
Nice.
So yeah, it's around. It's played multiple festivals.
Yeah.
So check that one out if you can.
Yeah.
Blade of the Immortal. The
okay.
100th Takashi Miike film. And probably in his top five of all time.
Wicked.
Yeah, it's really awesome. It's too long though. Like
okay.
every Miike film.
Yeah.
He goes through like a lot of like boss battles.
Yeah.
Eliminate one of them and it's like a super tight film.
Yeah.
Violent.
Wow, cool.
If you like sword fights,
yeah.
They legit take on like 100 people at a time.
Sweet.
And there's like heads flying,
yeah.
limbs. Oh, it's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I really liked it. Secret Screening we already talked about. Bodied we talked about. The Endless we talked about. Mom and Dad we talked about.
Yeah.
And I'm done.
Sweet, man. That's awesome. that's cool. So we're caught up. So that's day 3 and 4, and holy crap, man, this is a blast, and this is only the halfway mark.
They're doing karaoke at the Highball right now, and somebody's doing Molly's Lips by Nirvana.
Nice.
Right now. I can hear it. But yeah.
That's with a live band, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Karaoke Apocalypse. That's pretty cool. What do you have left that you're looking forward to?
We got the Secret Screening tomorrow.
That's tomorrow? Oh, that's right, yeah.
So I guess we'll see what that is.
And we're on the record, it's not the Del Toro film.
Yeah, it won't be the Del Toro. I hope it's not Death Wish.
I hope it will be.
It might be The Snowman.
Yeah.
People are saying that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be pissed if it's Blade Runner.
Yeah.
But then I'll be like, cool, I'm watching Blade Runner. But
with
at the same
cool
time,
people.
I don't want it to be Blade Runner.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bunch of movies that I don't really know about after this.
Okay.
My schedule was kind of front-loaded. Like, everything else coming up is stuff I couldn't even tell you what it is.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Bring that on.
Yeah. There are discoveries in there,
totally,
right?
Totally. That's what I want. That's why I'm here, man.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I guess we can wrap it up. People can find you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, at SoundJam69. Say hi.
And I'm on Twitter. I'm at Adrian_Charlie. Show has a Twitter account. It's at @TheGreen_Screen. We're also on Facebook. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death and hit like, and you can check us out on Facebook. We also have a website, thegreenscreenofdeath.com. And be sure to check us out on other platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and pretty soon, I guess we'll have to look into how to join Spotify. So we're working on that.
I got one last thing.
All right.
How'd the Cowboys do?
Oh, it's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah. I keep messing up my brain.
Yeah.
It's tomorrow night.
Green Bay was losing big.
Yeah.
They came back and won in overtime.
Oh, they did?
Supposedly, the play before the scoring was a 72-yard pass from to Jordy.
Yeah.
And then they kicked a field goal and won the game.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, supposedly Jordy was all over the place. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Right, well, go Cowboys, go Packers.
Oh, and the Raiders got their ass kicked.
Okay, cool. All right. Thanks very much for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.